gift, and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our visit with James has brought us to a very timely place here in verse 17, as he is explaining to us about gifts and where they come from and the quality of them. They're perfect when they come from him. So this time of year, there's a lot of focus on gifts and on giving, especially having just finished my birthday month. It's only 11 more months to the next opportunity for you to celebrate with me, so be sure and put that on your calendar. And then, of course, there's Christmas, which the meaning behind those giving of gifts has been lost and commercialized by the world, but should not be with us. I've even heard of wives who go out and buy their own Christmas gift and then come home and tell their husband that he needs to pay her back for the gift that he just bought her. So husbands, beware. That's the latest scam that's going on. I see ladies writing it down now, even as I said that. Sorry, guys. So for a couple of weeks, we have been looking here at James about the gift of forgiveness when temptation was not avoided and sin took place. There is forgiveness with the Lord. Thank goodness for that. Verse 16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Don't get confused. Don't make mistakes mistake what he is saying to us in chapter 1. Good, not bad, comes from the Lord. Don't turn away from the Lord. Not use your faith during times of testing, during times of trial. Don't swerve aside during temptations to sin. Never allow yourself to doubt the love, the faithfulness, and the goodness of the Lord during these times, because that in itself is a temptation. Yeah, I know he's allowed the problems, the difficulties, and he's even permitted you to be tempted, but please understand that the Lord did not create sin. He did not create evil. He did not create these bad things that are going on in your life. They come as a result of man's sin and disobedience and rebellion against him and his word. Who he is does not change when your circumstances change. There is no variableness of God. There is no changeableness of God. Hebrews says he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because he is eternal. He does not change. He is, verse 17 says, the creator, the father of lights. He made the sun and stars. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light before he ever created the sun and the moons and the planets and the earth. He is the source of all light. The sun can never be in shadow. The sun might hide itself because of clouds, but it's still shining. Night does not keep the sun from shining. The world has just simply turned us away from where it's shining. If we turn from God to escape the difficulty of a trial or the guilt of a sin, It makes about as much sense as turning away from the sun to escape darkness. When we pick up faith and when we use it in the Word of God, we're going to understand and live out the truth that the Lord is the source of everything in our life that is good. When you trust God by faith, you'll still live in joy, even in the worst of times. I don't know about you, but if the source of your happiness comes out of Washington, D.C., you got to be a miserable person. Half the country is happy, half the country is miserable. And that changes with every election. Don't get caught up in that mess. That's not the source of our joy. When you find yourself in these difficult times, the Lord says through James, count it all joy. Go back to where the source of joy is and be reminded that it's not in how things are going in your life, good or bad. You'll even ask Him for wisdom to step by step, day by day, go through the difficulties. Verse 12 says you'll focus more on the rewards, the spiritual rewards, the spiritual blessings, like the crown of life, instead of the loss of something in the world. When you trust God by faith, you'll never blame Him for your fleshly desire to sin or use His grace to excuse it when you do. You'll give Him the credit, you'll give Him the glory for all the good in your life. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. You won't go into error in your thinking, in your belief, or in your conduct when you keep those first 15 verses straight. You won't turn away from the fellowship of the Lord. You won't swerve aside from serving Him from the very reason that you were saved. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Of His own will begat He us. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. He came unto His own, the children of Israel, and it said that His own received Him not. But verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, received Him. There is a point in your life that you consciously choose to receive Him into your life. That takes place at a moment in time. You consciously make the decision. No one can make that for you. You can't make that decision in front of a baptismal font when you're an infant. You have to decide for yourself. You have to be reconciled to God on a one-on-one individual basis. You have to come to Him in repentance and belief and receive Him into your life. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. There's a birth. There's a moment in time that a spiritual birth takes place at that reception of Christ into your life. Something that was dead comes alive. It's not your body. Your body's been alive. It's not your soul. Your soul's been alive. Ephesians chapter 2 said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." What is it that died in Adam when he sinned? God said, the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. What died? His spirit. His ability to communicate with God, to comprehend and to understand God, to fellowship and commune with Him, that died. So when he heard the voice of God calling to him to have that fellowship, that daily communion that he had every day, he ran and hid. Oh, but when we receive Christ, that spirit that is born dead in us when we're born physically comes alive. Comes alive to the words of God. Comes alive to the reality of the being and presence of God. Everything changes then, because that human spirit has an open communication now with the Lord. He said, we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We were not born because we willed it to be. We determined that we were going to do good, that we were going to get baptized, or we were going to have confirmation, or we were going to join the church. We determined that we were going to be righteous. No, that spiritual birth does not come as a result of an action on our part. It's an action of God. It's not by the will of ourselves, not by our personal will. It's not by the will of man. It's not by the will of our parents. It's not by the will of a wife or a husband that says, I want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. So you go down and do this. No, that doesn't. Righteousness, eternal life, forgiveness doesn't come as a result of your will or somebody else's will, but by the will of God. Of his own will begat he us. He begat us. He birthed us. He created a new nature, a new life in us. And then he baptized, he put the Holy Spirit into us at salvation. What a gift. What a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't go through a period of time where we determined to be the best we could so that we could deserve. No, it's a gift. All that, you know, the only thing you have to do with a gift? Receive it. Open it. Or in some cases, get your fork out and see, some gifts you can taste. Unless you're hunting for it on Sunday morning, then it'll get lost in the thicket. John chapter 10, verse 10. Now our text. The Lord is comparing the relationship that we have with Him with that of a shepherd and sheep. Unless we get too proud, I would remind you that sheep are one of the dumbest animals that have ever lived on the face of this earth. So, that'll take care of your pride. Verse 10, he said, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." You need to remember that. That's being glamorized, it's being popularized, it's being glorified through all of the entertainment and through all the technology venues. This life outside of God, this life outside of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you what that life is. That life will steal all of the joy, all of the peace right out of you. It will kill you and it will destroy your life. Please open your eyes and look at people who have been in that life for some time. They are the most miserablest people in the world. Their life makes a good story because of all the drama and the heartache and the sorrow. But is that the kind of life you want to live? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But yet that's what young people aspire to because that's the model that's put before them. No. It's going to destroy your life. And before it does, you're going to be absolutely miserable. And you're going to mar many people's lives in the process. I know most young people don't listen. I didn't. And I still carry the scars of that. But if just one person will listen, and say, you know, maybe, just maybe, he might be right. Try it out. The Lord said, the thief, the enemy, he's the one that's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Not just life, but that they might have it more abundantly. It's not just life. It's a quality of life. It's a life that when everything is in turmoil around you, you have peace and you have joy. Despite an epidemic, despite sickness, despite fear of being in a car wreck, despite all of the fear and the worry that lost people, that characterizes their life, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We have a joy that lost people envy. They just don't want to go down the road that leads to joy, which is Jesus Christ. He said, here's the main reason I've come, Jesus says, that we might have a life. And that life that we have is abundant. It doesn't just include this life on earth, but it lasts forever. The peace lasts forever. The joy lasts forever. The contentment, the satisfaction, it lasts forever. A job doesn't. A human relationship doesn't. A human happiness doesn't. But I want to tell you something that does last forever, and that's God, and that's the life of God, and He offers it as a gift. The gift of life. Verse 11 said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He first gave His life in order to redeem us and give us this life that we now have. We have the life of Jesus Christ eternally living in us because He first gave His life. Please remember there's two dimensions to life. First, there's the physical. Life in the body, life in the world. And then there's the spiritual, life in the spirit, both in the body and the world, and soon in heaven. Realize that both are a blessing, both are a gift from God. In our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'll turn back there for just a minute, Deuteronomy chapter 8, would you look at verse 10? What a picture of the kind of life that God intended His people to live in the Old Testament. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy 8, He said, when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord. By the way, you can eat and not get full. I've always practiced to eat, and then when I get full, I stop. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Could you tell me what they did to inherit Canaan? And they didn't work for it. They didn't earn it. It was just given to them by promise. All they had to do was take possession of it, receive it. And a whole generation refused to do that. And they died in the wilderness. And the next generation who saw the waste, I mean, 40 years just wandering around in a circle out in the wilderness, accomplishing nothing. And the only people whose lives they impacted were their children to learn by a negative example. That's not the life God intended for them. He intended the wilderness to be a preparation for Canaan. The trials and the testings that James speaks of in chapter 1 that God allows, the temptations that God allows, is a proving ground for our inheritance. It trains us, it tests us into a Christ-likeness that we need in order to live by faith and impact other people's lives. You see, there's physical blessings as well as physical challenges. Yes, life is difficult. We live in a sin-cursed body. We're going to wear out. We're going to start, as we walk, we're going to sound like Rice Krispies cereal when you pour milk on them. So I'm told. You're going to get old. That's because the curse is still affecting our body. Not our spirit. That's eternal. The world is still cursed by God. That curse is going to be lifted when he comes back, but not until. So there's going to be problems. Just because of that fact alone, there's going to be difficulties. And then those difficulties can be compacted when we don't learn the easy lessons from the Word of God. When we insist on having our own will, our own way, we're going to have problems and difficulties. But despite that, there's still blessings of life, physical life in this world. A wife is a gift from the Lord. Mine certainly is. And an even greater gift is a husband. Y'all just hadn't realized it yet. Children, they are a gift from God until they get to be teenagers. Then we look for the return policy. But they make up for it, and they go back to being a gift when they give us grandchildren. A job is a gift from the Lord. I know a lot of folks don't see it that way. But what if you didn't have a job? What if you didn't have the skill, the talent, the ability that someone thought was good enough to pay you? That's what he uses to provide for your needs and the needs of your family and the needs of others. Gives you a place to serve him and to minister. A job is a gift from the Lord. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 4 says that preachers are a gift to the church. Some of y'all need to start treating me more like a gift. Midge. I won't call any names though. Now, notice in verse 10. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy 8. Notice there's the giver of the gift. That's the Lord. And we're back to what James told us. All good gifts, all perfect gifts come from above, from the Lord. There's the gift, the giver of the gift. Then the gift itself, it said there, the good land. For the good land which he hath given thee. So there's the giver of the gift. The good land is the gift itself. The good land is a land of promise. It is a place of promise that is entered into by faith. Then there's the people of the gift. God's people, the redeemed, who were redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb in Egypt, and who miraculously passed through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and then eventually into the place of promise. There's the enjoyment of the gift. He said, when you have eaten and are full, satisfied, content, God has given you a gift to enjoy. And what's the result of the gift? So that you would bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And forget not all His benefits. Are you enjoying His gift of life? His blessings? Because look at verse 11. Beware. Take heed. Take warning. Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command thee this day. It's so easy to get caught up in the gifts and the blessing that you forget the purpose of them. You forget who gave them. You ever notice children, they get so busy and caught up with opening the gifts, they don't come hug your neck and say thank you. No, they're just too busy enjoying the gifts. God's people can get that way. We can be so blessed that we forget why the Lord is blessing us. I think that's the case in the church of 2020. We've forgotten, we've swerved aside to why God has saved us and why He's put us here. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, Ephesians 4 says. He's worthy of our very best. Folks, we need to learn what it is to enjoy life. Many folks are living so miserably, they've forgotten that there is a gift of God that is to be enjoyed. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, the Lord said, focus on what you do have, what I've provided for you. It's enough. I don't see one person in here that looks like they're starving. Everybody got clothes, thank the Lord. Everybody got clothes. He said, if you have food, if you have clothes, you've got everything you need to be content. Now, how many have a place to go to when you leave here? And I'm not talking about the restaurant. I'm talking about when you eventually get to the last place. How many has a house that you live in? That's just added blessing. What is it that is keeping you from being living under a bridge in a cardboard box? Oh, you say, I'd never do that. I wonder how many of them said that. What if you lost your job and couldn't get another one? What if you didn't have any friends, any family? Where would you go? Grace of God. The blessing and the gift of God. How often do we think about it? Just once a year on the fourth Thursday of November? I hope not. We have no right to gripe. We have no right as a Christian to complain, especially in this country. Oh, I wish I could take some of you with me on some of the trips. You'd never, ever complain about the food or about anything here in this country. Put off the old life in the flesh. Quit living like you lived when you were lost. Put off the deceitful lust, the pride, the covetousness, the envy, the jealousy, the lying, the bitterness, the evil speaking, the gossiping, the cursing, the complaining, the griping, the nagging, the whining, anger, wrath, malice. Put it all off and put on the new nature. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh, he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How's the quality of your life? Have you bragged about God more than you've complained about your lot in life this past week? Have you praised and thanked the Lord for his goodness to you? For his mercy and grace? For his physical blessings of how much? Have you thanked him? Have you bragged and glorified God about how good he's been to you? More than you've complained about your hurts and aches? Do you have Jesus Christ? Have you received him? If you have, we have nothing to complain about. We have been promised. We have been guaranteed. We have his Spirit sealed and his mark on us that we have eternal life in heaven forever and ever. Please tell me what there is to complain about. And everything to thank him for. Don't have him? It's not his fault. Never received Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's not his fault. He's right now. Right now, just outside the door of your heart, waiting. And there's nothing to prevent him from coming into your life right now but you. And you do that by keeping the door closed. If you want that life from above, if you want to be born again spiritually, God is more than willing to give that to you as a free gift if you would just receive it and unwrap it into your life. Father, we sure do thank you this morning that we're in a comfortable building. We don't have any sentries posted to be on guard for authorities that are going to come and close us down or arrest us. Lord, we're in relative peace. Temperature is comfortable. It's raining outside, but we sit in here dry. We've got clothes. Pretty good clothes, too, Lord. Had plenty to eat. In fact, we'd have to just confess too much. Lord, you've blessed us with family, with friends, with a church family, cars. Lord, we have everything in our hands to bless you with, to serve you with, to carry out your will and purpose. And we're not doing it. We ought to be ashamed. Lord, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. We ought to be the most joyous, rejoicing people. Every other word ought to be thank you. Lord, would you speak to us this morning and reprove us if we're not? Remind us all over again, Lord, of... And we hadn't even talked about how you've blessed us spiritually. Just the physical blessings alone, Lord, ought to be enough to serve you the rest of our days. Lord, for any dear lost friends, that are still outside your family. Lord, don't let them sit through a service like this and walk away with the door still barred from you coming into their life. Lord, would they right now open it and say, Lord Jesus, come in. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to govern and take control over my life. I've made a mess of it. Lord, you can make all things new. You can forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Lord, I believe you'd do that. So I ask you to come in and be my Savior. Oh, Lord, let somebody do that this morning. Lord, your people, Lord, we are so blessed. Now, may we live like we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.